The Tigers are playing tonight. I never miss a game.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight.
Give me all you got! Give me all you got!
You know, I don't know how to do laundry, Stuart. I've been needing laundry lessons.
You're goddamn right.
Welcome to Comic-Con, a geek podcast for the rest of us. A geek podcast for the rest of us. Comic-Con.
And speaking of great acting, we're about to talk about a lot of great acting for the movie we're talking about tonight.
We have an actor, an actual actor, Oscar-winning actor, coming to this show. Finally, our promoters went out and did a great job.
Well, we couldn't get Michael J. White, so sorry.
Okay.
But all in right. his stead, we okay. got... We
I'm
got,
done
we,
with the show.
Oh.
You promised Michael J. You
promise. Where are you going? Where are you going?
You promised Michael.
I think we might actually be able to get Michael J.
It's a good
J.
possibility. I mean... Comic wise, yeah, but you know, he deals with, I thought he does more like the deep doc podcast and the maybe like MMA type podcast.
No, I'm
like,
saying he did Collider podcast. So, I mean,
I was about to say neither you or I have stepped in the octagon yet.
No, we haven't. No.
Then again, maybe the Comic Cons just want to see us in the octagon together.
You and me?
You and me.
We're going up against each other?
Yeah.
How much weight would I have to put on to even qualify?
You don't have to put on weight. You just come on in as you are.
Really?
Yeah.
And I just jump in your arms, right?
Yeah, you jump in your arms and then we just make love. Cat fight.
As long as when I jump in your arms, there's music playing, maybe preferably kisses, I was made for loving you, you were made for loving me. I jump in your arms, you don't even skip a beat, and you just bounce me, much to the dismay of the audience.
It would have to be.
Okay. Yeah. Deal. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I couldn't get Michael J. White. Okay. I was trying to get Martin Sheen. We left a bunch of messages, but he never called back. Mm. Okay. Teresa Randall, God bless her. She's not calling back. So I reached out to comic book artist and owner of Greenbird Comics, Mr. Mikkel Green, and he's on standby right now. And I was going to let him in, and he was going to talk some shit with us about this gem of a movie, this movie that got robbed of Oscars back in 1997. This movie based on a little character called Spawn.
Spawn. Mm. Al Cowlings.
Right.
Ain't that right? Al Cowlings. Ain't that Spawn name?
Isn't it Simmons?
You're right.
Who's Cowlings? Who's Al Cowlings? Is that a character in the shit that we're writing?
It's OJ's best friend.
Oh shit.
What was I thinking about? I was rushing to get on this damn Zoom so fast. I was like, okay, Spawn, check. Al Cowlings, the guy driving the Bronco.
Well, hey.
Simmons.
Could be worse.
Simmons.
Could be worse.
Oh, my God.
let's let our friend in here and see, see if we can... add any more credibility, because you and I don't have any credibility when it comes to this stuff.
Definitely don't now. I lost it all. Fucking Al Cowlings. What was I thinking about OJ?
I don't know. It was just on your mind, I guess.
I know Spawn name is Al Simmons.
Now you do.
Now I do. Because you was like, who is Al Cowlings? I was like, God. Because you sent the Zoom invite. I was like, got it. Think of a name. Because I didn't want to spell Malbogia, because I ain't got time for all that.
You know what's funny? I never remember that Malbogia is Malbogia. I always forget Malbogia is the devil, basically,
the
right?
The devil. Right. No. I don't think he is the devil.
Oh, he's not?
I don't think he's the actual devil.
We need some.
I think he's like a lieutenant.
We need some assistance here, because we don't know what we're doing.
I never got around to it where they spoke that Spawn called him Satan. I don't know.
All right. Our friend Mikkel Green, can you hear us?
There we go. What's going on, bro?
What's happening? How you been?
Good, man. Good to meet you.
It's good to meet you too, man. Hi.
Nick Hi. Stevens here. We got James Powell, a.k.a. Al Cowlings on his Zoom handle because we were just talking before we let you in, Mikkel, and apparently we don't have any credibility on a podcast talking about this kind of stuff because...
just lost it all, man.
Because
just
he
lost it all.
Because you put Al Cowlings instead of Al Simmons.
Man, I was like, I was in a rush because he sent the Zoom invite, and you know you got to be on time with Stevens. You got to be on time, or he's going to dock your pay. He's going to dock you. And so I don't know why I thought OJ's main guy is Al Simmons. I don't know why that happened.
Hey, you got the first name right, you know.
I knew it was Al. Sometimes I get them mixed up. Sometimes I want to say Earl Simmons, but then I gotta say DMX. Rest in peace. DMX.
He's DMX, most definitely. Yeah.
Hey, Mikkel, welcome to Comic Con's podcast. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for hopefully adding some legitimacy and some credibility to the show tonight. Because usually we're just off the rails, and this is really just a geek podcast for the everyman, the person who might not know. We might know who Norrin Rad is, but we don't know a lot about Spawn.
Definitely don't know shit about Spawn. If I'm driving OJ in the Bronco,
Mikkel, I'd love for you to just take a few minutes before we dive into Spawnville and take that U-turn off 95 from where we were, and maybe tell the Comic Consies out there, tell the folks listening a little bit about yourself and Greenbird Comics and kind of how you started into that enterprise, so to speak.
Greenbird Comics was actually something that started by actually a tattoo design. It's kind of weird because traditionally I'm a visual artist by nature. I mean, I just do paintings and portraits, things of that nature. And so I never really dived into the whole comic book scene.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, I had a friend of mine, she wanted me to design a tattoo for her. So I said, why not? So, and it wasn't even anything that you would think would be connected to the comic books that I do. It was just simply a tattoo design of her, but as like a pixie or a fairy or whatever like that.
Ooh.
And so once I showed her the design, she was like, you know what? You should do a black angel like this. I was like, okay, why not? You should do a whole art show like this, Mikkel. I was like, why not? So eventually what happened was I was in my last year at the University of Louisville, and I was in a painting class. And so we had to do a major show at the end of the year. And so what I decided to do was create about 8 paintings just depicting angels, right? And so when we got that completed and we got a lot of praise from that show and a lot of people recognized me for that, then eventually what happened was after college, of course, I got to find me a job,
right,
somewhere, you know, do what I need to do, you know, no more residuals coming in. So ended up, I worked at this company, which I'm currently at right now, called Rainbow Design Services. So it's a design company and we do like mechanical drafting, right?
Right.
And so I had a mutual friend that worked, or someone else that worked there as well, that was in the actual show that I had just did, the Black Angel show. And so as her background was digital art. So she was more into that. And she was really into the comic book kind of manga type-esque stuff.
Ooh.
So she introduced me to that. So her name was Mikkel Bird, and hence Green Bird, my last name Green, her last name Bird. Ooh. And so I came to her with this idea about, why don't we just create a comic book together? It was just supposed to be one simple comic book. And we ended up doing the comic book, and we wanted to submit it to some companies to see if we can actually, you know, get it
published.
And, yeah, have them do all the work for us, you know.
Right.
And then
right.
Once we realized that might not happen, we said, why don't we just do self-publishing? Let's just do it ourselves.
That's awesome.
So eventually we jumped into it, and our first book was called Black Angel. So it had nothing to do with the Black Angel paintings at all. I just wanted to adapt that name into a storyline that kind of made sense for it to use that name anyway.
Right.
And so eventually that's what happened. And it's from there, we kind of like just picked up more people along the way, more creators and more stories have come about. We got some more stories coming up this year and more conventions. So it kind of started from that, just from a simple tattoo design.
That's wild. And
what's like time frame? Like for the genesis up until now, like a couple of years back, or
we've been in business for about almost 6 years now.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Almost 6 years. But the thing is, when you're doing self-publishing and me being the artist, the writer, everything else, it takes a little while to, create a book.
Right.
Especially if you're working, you got a son that you got to take care of and a household and all that. So it's like, okay, I got to do this whenever I get a chance. But, as long as you got the passion that's there, which obviously I did. If I didn't, I probably wouldn't even be doing that right now. But it just stuck with me and I was able to actually just push it on out. Currently, right now, up under myself, I've illustrated and written 4 titles. I have another creator who is already created another title. So we have 3 titles currently in circulation and 5 books between us. We have another creator that's going to be pulling out his book this year. So that'll be 4 different titles amongst us. And then I'll have 2 more books coming out myself this year.
That's great.
Awesome sauce.
And especially for you to have that so contained too at first, right? Because I mean, you have 100% creative control, So that kind of autonomy has to feel good, when you have that much insight. No one's telling you like, well, hold on, can you scale this back? Or can you, it's all in house. So you have 100% control. That's got to be liberating. That's got to be a really cool feeling.
The freedom, it's just the freedom. And you know what? It's crazy. You got to think about it. Like every major company has started somewhere. Every major creator started somewhere. From Stan Lee, one of my favorite illustrators is Jim Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big 90s fan. So,
You are in the right. We are at the right campfire together right now, man. Because like how we talk about 90s comics, nothing but 90s comics, really.
No, we don't.
Just looking at some of his work that he does, the cross-hatching just alone by itself, and his style is just, I just sit there and I look in awe, like, wow, he still can do this to this day with no issues. Like,
prodigy. It's kind of fitting that we're going to talk about Spawn with you tonight, because Todd McFarlane, being who he was, broke away from Marvel and broke away from some of the larger companies to start his own company, Image. And so it's kind of like an interesting little tie in there to like you starting your own little enterprise and fledgling enterprise rather, and going outwards with that. And it's kind of similar to like a lot of things, how Todd McFarlane did as well, where he was a freelance illustrator and then wanted to create his own books. He wanted to break away and create his own thing and have his own creative control. Were you into Image or Spawn or anything like that when you started getting into comics, or was it mostly just Marvel and X-Men?
Image, the comic books I remember reading from Image would probably be like, I think it was Wildcats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember Wildcats. That.
And I think there was another that I was reading as well, but I think Wildcats was the one that stood out to me the most, because I remember I always liked the character called Grifter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the red.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought he was pretty cool. I just like this design. But other than that, I think the next thing I read was The Walking Dead, which I believe came from Image at one point, too.
Gotcha. But, yeah.
But other than that, yeah, 90s, it was probably just the Wildcat.
Those ensembles, man, like that 90s X-Men, the Jim Lee run, like you said. I mean, that's where we got our Omega Red. That's where we got the animated series eventually came out of those stories too. And I mean, that's our bread and butter right there. I mean, I don't really read a lot of current Marvel stuff. I read a lot of current DC stuff, but I'm kind of lost now when it comes to X-Men. I'm so far behind.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was my error. I found myself, okay, at one point kind of veered away from it because, once you get into high school, that's a different thing. I'm not thinking about comic books at the time. I'm thinking about girls. I'm thinking about, just the in crowd, whatever it may be. And then once I graduate, going to college, And I was in the military for a little bit too. So my mind was far away from that stuff. It was more into just life. And then eventually, you know, I found myself gravitating more back towards it, you know, especially once I started doing my, you know, my art, my paintings and things like that, and taking the pictures at the college and things like that. So it kind of came back to me. And especially when I had my son, and he's really into like the arts and stuff like that. So now it gives me a reason to kind of like step backwards a little bit, teach him a few things, you know, kind of compare what he likes today compared to what I liked in the past. And it's not so different, to be honest with you.
That's a beautiful thing.
And what was the name of your first title then?
The first title is Black Angel.
Oh, Black Angel. Okay.
Black Angel, issue number one, Hope. So it follows a fallen city called the City of Derby. I kind of monikered that off of the city of Louisville, Kentucky. So Derby City, horses, things like that. So I said, call it the city of Derby. An angel who's lost his memories, and a little girl who is living in this post-apocalyptic city of Derby, and she's a scavenger. So pretty much she's getting food and she's bringing it back to an orphanage because she's the oldest kid. So she feels a responsibility to go out, get food, bring it back. But the two cross paths in a very abrupt kind of way. And he's lost his memories, of course. And so for her assistance, you know, and helping him get his memories back, you know, she asked for him to help her get back to the orphanage because there's other scavengers and monsters and demons and stuff that reside there as well. And so, you know, them meeting each other, you know, really will be beneficial for both of them.
That sounds good.
I know. I feel like we need to see that like on like Netflix, like now.
Like I'm picturing everything he just said. I'm picturing everything. I see the down city. I can see the girl and everything. And it sounds good.
I'm looking forward to writing this third issue for it this year. So I'll be starting writing and illustrating it next month. And since I know I said something about me really liking the whole 90s era and the Jim Lee, so I'm going to try my best to try to mimic the style off of Jim Lee's style for this third coming out. So it's going to be like a totally different style from the first and second issue that I put out.
I was going to say, like, so I really, really dig your artwork. I've been following you for some time now. I think we've been following each other on Instagram for some time now. And I've been tracking your art and even the stuff you've been presenting at conventions and stuff, you know. And I was going to say some of it reminds me, at least tonally wise too, of some of that. And you talk about demons and darkness and stuff like that. I think some of that celestial post-apocalyptic, the contrast of demons and angels, and it's all there, you know, and it reminds me of that too. So I could see that. I could see how that gets pulled. It's awesome art, man. I mean, you definitely are super talented.
I appreciate that. I really do, man.
Absolutely.
So, Nick just pulled me on today, so I don't know nothing about it. I'm like, I'd like to see it too. I'm going to have to get your Instagram again. No.
Yeah, man. Yeah, check us out. It's just Green Bird Comics. Bird is spelled with a Y.
Okay.
All one word. And then you'll be able to see, I actually just posted a character bio from one of the characters in the Black Angel series yesterday. So you'll get a chance to see that
Angel.
Too.
I like
that. So where were you in 1997? Did you happen to see this little gem of a movie in theaters when it came out in 1997? Because I know I was there. I was there front and center with like 10 guys.
1997, what was I? I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not watch it when it first came out.
You weren't hyped?
I was not. You know what? What was I into in 97? You know what? That's when my love for horror movies jumped off. I'm a big horror fanatic as well. So
awesome.
Comic book stuff of it, you know, part of it. Back then, I didn't catch Spawn until later on down the line, maybe a few years down the line.
Right.
And then I think especially after 2001, 2002, I think that's when the first Spider-Man movie came out.
Oh, so you had some more contemporary stuff to compare it to by then.
Yeah, so by that time I started looking at it now, and you know what? I actually rewatched Spawn over the past 3 days, two or three days, a few times. And I was like, you know what? This movie did not hold up at all.
It's a little rough at parts to get through. Like
at the same time, the animated series, HBO had the animated series out, right?
So we can talk about that.
The movie and the HBO series were totally different. The series was real.
It was real.
No, it got real with Al, and they just you just had to see Spawn live just for the movie. That's all they wanted. They just wanted to show that live version. But if they had adapted it just the way the movie was, and which was true to the comics and everything, it probably would have held up like Blade does now.
Right.
You're right about that. You know what? There's a part of me that wanna says, given that it was 1997, the special effects held up for that time. But I'd be lying to myself if I said that, because I can think about other movies that came out before that. That graphics look way better than that movie. Right. I was like, wait a minute. And then it's so funny because I just watched an interview that they did with Michael J. White regarding Spawn. And he was saying that he was not pleased with the movie because they added way more to it than what the original script was.
Right.
They said they were supposed to have a limited amount of special effects. And then when they rewrote the script and he got it later on after accepting it, there was like 200 to 300 more special effects added that didn't make any sense. And he said it took away from the story of the origin of Spawn in that show, in that movie, and it just like watered it down. So it was like, it's supposed to be a story about Spawn and how the birth of Spawn. And the special effects in the story. Now, don't get me wrong. Leguizamo, what's his name? Joey Leguizamo?
John Leguizamo,
he was hilarious. I liked him. I thought he had like this little slapstick kind of, you know, Beavis and Butthead comedy a little bit.
But that's how Violator was. That's how Violator was.
I'm just going to have to teach you a lesson. No more clowning around. I'm not the Vindicator. Or the victimizer, or the vaporizer, or the vibrator. The fire
right. Michael J. White did a great job. Can't even lie about that. I think he did a great job. The chick with the tight leather outfit on.
Ooh, Jessica Priest created for the movie, right? Because they didn't have the rights to Chapel. So they put her in there, and then she ended up showing up in the comics down the road because they just loved her outfit. They loved her in that tight leather.
That wasn't a good role for her. I don't think that was. I think they should have left that part out. I really felt like they could have left that part out. But at the same time, it's the.
I know what you mean. It has the look when you start the movie. When you rewatch the movie now, it has that whole look of like, wait, did I just start late '70s, early '80s, like cheesy, campy, like old sci-fi movie? Because it has all the buildup of something that was. That was very low budget, but they had a good $40 million, which back then in the 90s for a budget was actually pretty big. It sounds from everything I read about it is just what you said, Mikel, is that they just splurged it all on the Sega Genesis effects that they were.
Yeah, they wasted it on that goddamn motorcycle.
Right, right.
And that cape.
No, 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 no. Not that cape. That cape is where all the money should have went. But that motorcycle, it could have kept the spawn cycle. Yeah. Because his chains and everything. That looked good to me still today.
Right. Right.
His chains and that cape. That the cape just didn't do enough.
No.
Yeah, the chains did it. The chains were good. Yeah. The cape, you're right, the cape didn't do enough.
Because I know we could talk about it now because we're spoiled by what Doctor Strange cape can do now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, right,
which I'm ready for that movie to come out too.
But. Oh, amen. But I think the practical effects hold up a little bit, right? Like the makeup, like you were saying with Leguizamo, Al Simmons's makeup, Michael J. White's makeup when he comes out and he's all crisp, he's fresh burned, like he hasn't even donned the costume yet. It looks legit, and it holds up. And even when they actually plastered the black and white mask on his face instead of just making him wear like latex. So he did an additional 2 hours of makeup for that. So all that I think still holds up. But you're right. It's the CGI stuff that's it's like they were right on the cusp, because this came out even after Batman Forever when they were CGIing Val Kilmer's cape. Mm-hmm. No, and they were really big into that. They didn't want a real flowing cape. They're like, no, we got to CGI this whole thing.
Because Spawn wasn't, what was Spawn? Spawn was PG-13?
Yeah, that's another thing too. Like, yeah. It was PG-13. Like, it should have been R.
That's a crime in itself.
Right.
It should have been X.
X. Him and Wanda should have been getting it on. Right.
Him and Wanda should have been getting it on. The HBO series had them getting it on.
That's true. That's true. Right. I think performances, I think, was fine. Even Martin Sheen being over the top, I was like, all right, he's got an ashtray and some scorpions. All right.
That was it.
He sounded like he was chewing on the ashtray. That's what it sounded like. He had a throat problem. I was like, that don't sound right. Why would you do him like that?
But you could tell, like, I mean, he was like at the top of his game then. He was doing West Wing, you know? So he was like at the top of his game. And you could tell he was having a great time doing this movie. Like, watching him in this movie, you can tell he's like hamming it up and cheesing it up. He just wanted to be a villain so bad in this movie. Is there anything that stuck out to you when you watched this now, or even like the animated series that you remember that you think they should take with them for a new movie? Because we keep hearing about the possibility of a new Spawn movie. What do you think, Mikel or James? What do you guys think they should take from what we've seen, put towards a new movie, or should we just start from scratch? And
they will have to start from scratch. You will have to reboot it. It will have to be someone that knows what they're doing, someone that probably has read the comics as well as not really trying to just make a quick buck just because their name is attached to it.
Well, hey, we got a 2-minute warning on the Zoom. The Zoom that I use anyway doesn't like us to have more than one than two guests at a time. It cuts us down. So we're going to...
It never wants two black guys on.
No. No. It's Zoom, okay, Zoom is racist.
What the hell are you?
Spawn.
Yeah, did I get it right this time?
I just saw your Zoom handle.
Did I get it right this time? I got it right this time. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Now you're...
That's the guy that works for. That's the guy that works for the devil. There we go.
I just came in on that part. Who works for the devil now?
I'm just making sure I got my Spawn name right. That's the correct secret identity, right? That's
Al Simmons.
OJ Simmons.
Welcome back, everybody. We got to show the ZWM Box 350 who's boss, and we got to, you know, just stop recording and come back, you know, or maybe they're showing us who's boss. I don't know. I couldn't help but look up the Rotten Tomatoes score on this movie just for shits and gigs. And it
should have been fresh. It should have been fresh, right? It's still fresh, right?
It's at a 17%.
Oh, that's just because the kids today are watching.
I always wondered about that. Do you think they aggregate old scores from back in the day,
or
do they?
I think so, man.
Yeah, because it has a 36% audience score, which I know is better than some old school Marvel movies.
Only reason I say it, because I can remember 97 and folks were like, yeah, I saw the Spawn movie, it sucked but he was good though, so a lot of folks saw it,
and a lot of folks saw it
too. Yeah,
because it made over 80 mil,
right?
So it doubled its budget.
I called it a blockbuster. I wasn't going to waste my money on that ticket. No. No.
See, I rolled deep to it. I specifically remember going with like 9 friends. We took up a whole row of seats because it was slim pickings back then. Like, you weren't getting what we got now. Like, so any kind of comic book movie coming out, I was like, whoa, they're doing a Spawn movie? Like, it was a big deal.
And this was New Line, right?
New Line Cinema, baby.
So New Line was known for that. New Line had just came off Mortal Kombat.
Just.
So they were winning. They were winning.
They were the perfect studio to do this movie. Right. I mean,
they had Ninja Turtles.
The soundtrack that came with the movie.
I'm glad you brought that up because I had the soundtrack. I love this soundtrack.
Of course you did.
Because look, they were doing that hip. They were trying to do that hip hop. Maybe it was the Crow too. Crow movies had great soundtracks with like a lot of good metal bands. But then this came out and they were like, let's throw electronica and hip hop and metal together and see who shows up. And they had like, it was a mix. It was like Sneaker Pimps and Marilyn Manson. It was like, wait, what? But I remember jamming to this shit back in the day. There's still some gems on there. I don't know.
I can't remember that. I can't remember half the music that was on there.
You don't want to. You don't want to. It wasn't the best. And I'll tell you, for me to be able to watch that movie three times in the past couple of days, I can never get over the music. I was like, wow. And then I'll probably never watch that movie again. I'm gonna tell you that right now. It's not nothing bad with it. It's just that's not, you know, some movies you'll go to and you'll watch. This isn't one of those movies I'll go to and watch again after this. So
I could understand it. I think if you had like a nostalgic feel to it, like some people might have more of a nostalgic feel to it than others. So maybe if they have that, but if you don't have that, then I totally understand where you're coming from. Like,
you don't even want that IMAX spawn. You don't want to catch that IMAX. That Malboja.
That Malboja was a little whack, but I will say the Violator graphics wasn't too bad. Violator looked pretty cool.
No, they gave it all for Violator, but Malboja was messed up.
So bad.
Malboja used TikTok graphics.
Like he wasn't finished, right? He looked like he wasn't finished. He
wasn't finished. And then he'll just rise. He'll rise out the brimstone and shit.
Right.
A mangy dog. I will say that.
Yeah, they all had that little hide on the back of their humps. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. It's so terrible. But speaking of the Violator's, you know, makeup effects and the corresponds, the same guy that did the Walking Dead zombies did that makeup effect.
Robert Kurtzman. I didn't know that. Yeah, Robert Kurtzman. Yeah. Yeah.
Not Robert Kirkman. Robert Kirkman was the creator of The Walking Dead, but the guy that did the special makeup effect.
I know. Did I say Kurtzman or Kirkman? Isn't it Kurtzman?
You said Robert Kirkman.
Oh.
It's Kirkman. Robert Kirkman is the writer, the creator of The Walking Dead, but he's not the special makeup.
Special effects was, I got to look it up now. I'm going to lose my mind if I can't remember it, because I swear it's like, it's pretty close. Oh, this guy was Robert Kurtzman with a Z. Kurtzman. With a Kurt, he's the guy that did the special effects for Walking Dead and Spawn. So his name sounds like what you were saying, the writer Robert Kirkman. Yeah, those practical effects, they hold up, man. Like, it's just like I said, it's just a CG. So like, let's flash forward to like, let's say 2023, a new Spawn movie comes out, right?
25. I'm saying it right now.
2025. Mm-hmm. Who would be your pick, your go to for a And we can't say Mahershala because he's already playing Blade. I feel like he'd say no to Spawn.
Oh no. Mahershala's out. No.
Who would be Al Simmons or Al Cowlings in this remake?
Tyler Perry.
Oh my god.
You know, that's a good question because I really don't want to see anybody currently doing. I don't want to see another Jamie Foxx. I don't want to see another Michael B. Jordan.
You don't want an A-list actor for this. You don't want an A-list actor.
Somebody that is coming up that maybe known by a few, but has a presence about them that you know they're gonna be something.
Actor off of Tubi.
Actor off of Tubi.
Yeah. From
like who's only doing exclusive Tubi original content.
You get an actor for any actor on Tubi right now, they could do Spawn. But generally, maybe some I would at least want a young actor, not so much in their early 30s. I'll take a young Al Simmons, you know, to be Spawn. He could still go through all this shit, the military, the wife, the stab in the back, but you can still have a young guy. I would like a young guy to come in as Spawn now. And I agree with you that we should at least have that Michael Jai cameo. Just to pay homage to him.
You know what? I will say Leguizamo's, am I saying his name right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I would say, as far as someone taking up his role as the Violator, they better be spot on, because that Violator character, what he portrayed, was very, in my sight, I think that just was the whole movie right there.
Right.
To be honest with you, I think that was his movie.
Oh, he gave it his all. Yeah, he gave it his all. He was 100% committed. And he had to squat the entire time because he had to be short. Like, so
he was squatting?
He was squatting the entire time. All his moves, he's like, you know, finagling around doing the crab walk and shit with all that makeup and fat suit on. So he was dedicated.
Megan McNeese.
Dedicated.
Pete Davidson could pull it off. There you go.
Pete Davidson. All right. Pete okay.
Davidson. Hang on, dog.
You know who I would actually really like to see, and this is going to be so, you're going to roll your eyes at this, but I was thinking, and I'm still thinking on who could play Al Simmons. It's going to come to me. It's going to come to me like an epiphany. I'm just waiting on it. But before we get to that, I think a Michael Keaton, even a Michael Keaton now, could crush the Violator role.
Hmm.
I mean,
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's too Beetlejuicy for you guys, but
it will be Beetlejuice. It will be.
Yeah, that would be Beetlejuice all the way.
I mean, I could just, especially when the Violator is at his, like, is it Cyan? At Al's daughter, his unbeknownst daughter's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And the clown is creepy as hell. He's got the clown makeup on, I guess his disguised clown makeup, you know, but his teeth are like all sharp and yellow and he's super creepy. Like, who would hire this clown for your kid's birthday party? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's the horrible parents, you know? And
it was the 90s, so yeah. No one's doing that nowadays. No.
I don't even think people hire clowns anymore. I think everyone's.
Oh no, clowns are they made it through COVID.
Did they really?
They were still at parties.
So clowns are still in.
Yeah, clowns are still in.
People still do clowns. I would think that after It and after, I don't know, John Wayne Gacy, I would just think that people are just kind of a little predisposed.
I was thinking the same thing, like after John Wayne Gacy. No, I mean,
clowns creep me out. Even Ronald McDonald creeps me out, you know?
Oh, you guys got to do a pod. Do you all do, podcast or reviews on horror movies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We don't do a lot, though. We have done them.
Have you seen The Terrifier?
No, I haven't.
God. Yeah, you got to watch that. Review that. Watch that.
That's Terrifier.
That's the new slasher. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. I will googs and we'll have to have you back on then to talk about it.
Oh man. But wait, I was trying to do Scream with you. You never talked to me about the new Scream.
Have you seen the new Scream?
No, I'm not gonna watch that. No. Ruin my childhood? Why would I mess that up?
Hmm.
Yeah. I did that with the new Matrix movie. I watched it. I was like, nah.
Wow. Yeah, we reviewed the new Matrix movie too. And I think it was the first time in a long time that yours truly shat on a movie the entire time of the podcast. Because normally I find something to love about every movie I watch, even Spawn. And I will say this, Spawn was a better movie than that new Matrix movie.
10 times better.
Because that new Matrix movie like was offensive to me, whereas like Spawn wasn't offensive. It was just like a fun.
Right.
That new Matrix movie is like, what? How did you? What? What are you? But what about? What are you?
Yeah, it didn't make it. It was not good. It was not good.
Yeah.
That was just for another Keanu Reeves appearance.
Right.
And to make that was it. That was just like. If Hollywood created the movie just for money, but did it in reverse. So everything that was good was in the first three movies.
Right.
And then the last movie just happened to be, let's just make some more money. And usually that's backwards. They usually do that first.
Right.
And then they start learning from their mistakes. So I was like, well, how did that happen?
I know.
Yeah.
Huh. So what do you want to see in a new Spawn movie versus, because we're talking about mistakes. You just mentioned mistakes. Like what mistakes other than the special effects? Because we know we're going to do better with that this time around. Let's say you're a studio and someone's pitching you the movie right now. They said, all right, Ray Fisher is going to play Al Simmons. We got a.
Oh. Oh. Threw that out there.
We got Michael Keaton playing Violator. You know,
I like Ray Fisher. It really was Ray, either Ray Fisher or Jonathan
Majors.
Majors.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Majors would be sick. Yeah. I love Jonathan Majors. Oh man, yeah, he's probably my top five right now.
Yeah,
of all time, I think he's crushing. I loved him in that Harder They Fall. I loved him in that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
you hit it on that one.
I just really liked him as Cyborg, and I just want to see more from him. Like he showed up in a little bit of that True Detective.
He can be gritty too. He can be gritty. Yeah.
He's got the build for it. He could easily do it. You know,
I can see it.
I don't know if he'd want to do the makeup after doing Cyborg. He might be like, I'm tired of doing stuff where my face is hidden. But
he'll get flashbacks. He'll get flashbacks.
He'll get flashbacks. Yeah, sure. But do we even want to see that? Do we even want to see a whole like origin of him?
But it's like he said, you have to start over. So, and at this point, I still don't think a lot of folks know about Spawn, even now. Yeah, even now. So you have to do some kind of origin with Spawn.
Yeah, it has to be. I think this will be the perfect, that will play in his favor because a lot of people don't know about it. So it's like a reintroduction of the character of the movie because they stopped doing the animated series a long time ago. Not really too much has come out regarding Spawn. You don't hear too much about Spawn. Except for the 97 movie and the animated series, which this is a whole new generation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Alexa, shut up.
Oh, no.
I'm like right next to this thing. It would have to be a good reintroduction of it to just this new generation. And it would have to be a love letter to the followers of Spawn, you know, the old generation.
Mm.
And it has to be done right. Like the mistakes that you were talking about or asking about, one thing is like we talked about earlier, it can't be a PG movie. It has to be an R movie.
R.
It has to be something that, you know, will continue to gravitate towards, especially the script. There's got to be cussing in it.
Right.
Come on, man.
I know. You could hear Michael J. White trying to be inventive with his insults.
Yeah.
Like at one point he was like, you foul-haired maggot. I'm like, wait, what? Like, and I could tell, like, I could even tell, like, I felt like I know Michael J. White, you know what I'm saying? I could hear him, like, grimacing when he was, like, trying to say the lines, like, come on, why can't I say one F-bomb? Like, give me one F-bomb.
Like, switch out Spawn with Black Dynamite, and then you got something.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Then Cream Corn comes out the corner.
Cream Corn. Yeah.
And you see that, and you see the boom stand with the mic like coming that into the shot on purpose.
Right, exactly. Awkward moment.
I love that shit.
But yeah, another mistake I think will probably need to be rectified would be obviously the special effects. Like,
right.
I'm sure that they won't have that. That'll be a joke.
Right.
That'll be something that they'll never live down if they pull that type of effect, special effects, into this new era. Like, what would you even make in a movie for? Like, that's a poor man's movie, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, no, we're not doing it. So the special effects, the script writing, the cussing, the cast, the story has to be dead on. I don't think that flashbacks are even needed in what would be needed in this new origin. You want to do an origin story? Let's just keep it, you know, sequential.
Right.
No going back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, he should die like in the first 10 minutes, just like Peter Weller did in RoboCop. Like he should be like on a mission and just, you know, and then, oh shit, you know, and then we meet the wife like, oh no, maybe we do a flashback where they're just getting it on like halfway through the movie, you know?
Have to. We have to see titties somehow.
I was going to say, if we got blood and we need blood, gore, and some titties, some gratuitous nudity.
I said, Blade had the formula.
Perfect formula.
That Blade had the formula.
Perfect formula.
Well, I could just follow that. It could follow that right now.
Right.
And you got the perfect Spawn movie to come out. Because Spawn, like you said, Spawn has a lot of love right now. Spawn is still getting a lot of love. At conventions, you see a lot of cosplayers
doing
Spawn costumes. So the juice is there for a Spawn comeback. It's ripe. It's ripe right now.
And I think there's like 3 spinoff comics right now too, where he's like, Spawn has like a sword right now and he's got a whole crusade that he's on. And so cause I always see the books like at the shops when I go, and I'm like, I peruse through them, but I'm so far behind. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to stick to what I'm reading.
Playboy.
Exactly. They're like, sir, we don't have Playboy. It's a comic book store. So I go to the adult comic section.
That special room in the back corner with the door. Black Door, adults only. Yeah, there we go.
What was it? Jungle what?
I believe you're referring to Jungle Women.
Jungle Women.
I was telling James over here some of the more mature reading that I read. Hey, what can I say? Okay. I like a good scantily clad drawn women, okay? I have no qualms with admitting that I find drawings of women just as attractive as...
Just need leopard print on something.
What can I say? Sheena? Sheena, the jungle woman, you know? I mean...
So, here's the serious stuff. Like,
oh, you're switching gears? You're switching gears?
Let's get serious here.
Okay,
both of you. Let's get serious right here. So, let's get down to it. Who wins this? Who wins that versus? Spawn versus Ghost Rider? Who wins that?
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider wins it.
Here's why.
Okay.
Here's why. Because Ghost Rider, can't he do that thing, at least back in the day, where he could like open up someone's mind to all the horrors they've ever done?
Okay.
And it drives him insane. I think he does that shit, doesn't he? Because he's like, you're going to be punished for all your sins. And he opens up their...
Right.
Like, they look into his you know, his eyes and his gaping mouth. And he could do it on Al Simmons, right?
No? If he catches Al Simmons.
He'd have to catch Al Simmons first.
Had to catch me first. That cape. You got to go past that cape first.
All right. Doctor Strange or Spawn?
Oh, Spawn. Spawn. Spider-Man beat Doctor Strange with geometry.
We got to do the dark Doctor Strange. The one that, the what if Doctor
Strange. Oh, shit. Spider-Man beat him with trigonometry. Oh, what you thought? Give me that. What you thought about that? I know you saw Spider-Man. So what did you think about that? Spider-Man beats Doctor Strange with geometry.
I thought that was clever.
It was clever. It was clever. But that just goes to show you, Spider-Man is just like Superman. They inject so much into those heroes that they're just omnipotent at this point. Like, they could do whatever they want. So you're telling me this guy has the ability to see through multiverses, but here comes this kid from fucking Brooklyn, beats him with geometry.
Queens.
In his own house. Queens. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's
kind of
far-fetched,
but yeah, I get it.
That's the geek coming out.
I'm with you. Because you want the rules of the universe to make sense.
Yeah, let's make it. But my money's on Spawn, though. I think Spawn can get the Ghost Rider.
I could see it going either way. I mean, but I'll tell you what, if Ghost Rider recruits the Midnight Suns, then it's a wrap. Like if he gets Blade, but
Spawn has all of hell.
Yeah, but Blade, Ghost Rider, and who else? Moon Knight and the Punisher.
I was just doing a straight one on one. I wasn't doing a gangbang.
I know, but you gotta have a gangbang. You know what I wouldn't mind seeing, actually? I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw another curveball out here. If we can't all agree on an actor when we come to the studio and we pitch them our Spawn idea, I say we just throw anybody in the suit, but the person who does the voice the entire time is our guy, Keith David from the animated series.
Oh, you want that Darth Vader? You want that Darth Vader?
That voice, that Keith David voice for that animated series he did, I mean, that Goliath from Gargoyles.
Right.
Oh.
He sure was Al Simmons.
He was, man. And it worked. It worked so well. It's like, Al Simmons, you know, I'm in the dark in the alley.
David with DJ Premier.
you know what? When I looked at the animated series, I was like, you know what? This animation style looks very similar to like a couple of things. It reminded me of the old Ninja Turtle cartoons, the animation. Mm. It also reminded me of the Batman series, the Batman animated series. I was like, it's a mix between the two.
Yeah.
Like a love child between the two. Like,
Yeah. It was dark, too. I think it's still on HBO. I need to go back through it.
It's on the Max. It's on the Max because, like I said, I had to, you know, I had to combine that with the Skinamax stuff because, you know, Spawn had titties in it. Mm. You just couldn't watch that with your mama sitting right by.
No, you couldn't.
That's the cartoon with titties. What's going on?
And it was like on the cusp. Yeah. Like the 90s was like, I mean, you had Tank Girl come out. You had The Crow come out. So you had a lot of studios that, I mean, they were all clawing for like properties to adapt. And we got to see it in our generation at that time. We got to see a lot of unique comic book movies being made because they, because everybody wanted another Batman, everybody wanted another Superman, and nobody was brave enough to do Marvel stuff yet. And if they were, they weren't seeing the light of day because they were on the shelves. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
And it's so funny you say that. I mean, because Tank Girl was a good movie.
It was solid. It was solid. I saw that in theaters too.
And I didn't even know it was a comic book until later on. After I watched, this is a comic book? Okay. And it made sense. So hi-fi it up, how they re-render the whole movie, mm-hmm. thing, this older one, and digitalize it and all that. And you can put that in the theater, and this whole new generation of people, I think they would like it.
Right. Honest with you. Yeah. I agree. So,
That's one of the ones that actually stood the test of time. So I think they had great acting. Seeing Ice-T.
Ice-T is a kangaroo mutant.
He's a kangaroo, whatever. Yeah, mutated kangaroo. Yeah, that was, and he did a really good acting job on that too. So yeah, that one right there did really well. I have to give it.
No. It's a rare breed. So we have a rating that we do on this show when we rate our little gems, our movies. So I'm going to put it out there. We have 6 ratings that we do. Try to stay in the flavor of positivity, because there's a lot of negativity out in the world. So we try to do layers of positivity when we rate our movies. So at the top of the heap, we have call out of work good. Okay. Movie theater good. Home video good. Catch it on cable good. Sick with the flu good. Or solitary confinement good. In other words, like you're locked up in solitary confinement and this is the only thing that you get to see while you're locked up. I'll start with you, Mikel, since you're our guest tonight. What would be your rating?
You're back in 1997. Now, right, you're not in 2022. We're talking about 97.
You just saw this in 97.
1997. Okay. Right. What's between solitary confinement and it will be between that.
Sick with the flu and solitary?
It will be between that, yeah. Whatever's between those two options.
Oh man.
In there right now with that one. If I was back in 1997.
Okay. Fair enough.
The only reason why I say that is because, like I said, I've seen other movies older than that stood the test of time.
Amen.
Plus on top of that, I wasn't really big into the comic book movies at that time because I was into horror and girls and stuff. So that will probably be right there. So yeah.
Fair enough. You actually living your life and getting out there and meeting ladies as opposed to this guy over here who's like, 9 deep in the theater opening day. Like, well, I can't wait. Had my comic books in study hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was that guy. I was that guy.
What are you reading over there, Stevens?
Nothing. No, nothing. I'm just a Weigel.
Jungle Girls again.
I wish I was reading Jungle Girls back in the day.
Hey, and then you was in study hall with J. Jonah Jameson too.
Yeah, I was. And he was telling me that I was a menace.
You're a menace.
Mr. Powell, what do you rate this guy?
Oh, it was definitely a blockbuster 6 months after the release. Exactly.
Were you?
I did not want to go see Spawn.
So you were not. You weren't. You didn't have any hype about it. You just kind of rented it.
Because I knew it was bullshit.
Yeah.
Even though I knew who Michael Jai was at the time, I knew he was Tyson. I was like, but I didn't know at the time that Michael Jai was a master. I didn't know. And that's the other thing. They kind of held him back in Spawn. You didn't see Michael Jai doing the same stuff he did in Bone.
You didn't see him do any moves. The only thing you saw him do is when he got shot and healed, he goes, damn.
It's so funny. Michael Jai White's first movie I ever saw him in was in the first 1989-1990 Ninja Turtle movie. He was actually in that.
Yeah, he was in that. Yep. That's right. I found that out after the fact. Yeah.
It was real quick.
Yeah.
It was like he just like gave up like, man, I don't want to do this no more. Like he saw him in it. It was like when they were getting ready to do the trials for the Foot Clan or whatever like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then you saw him out there with a bunch of guys ganged up. It looked like he really legitimately was like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
And then you seen everybody else walk. And you didn't see him anymore after that. It's like, okay, he didn't even walk with the group. He just stayed up for that one shot.
He rolled
just
out.
Got his check and back.
He rolled out. Okay. I love Michael J. White, and I've loved him in everything he's done since this movie. Even some of his B movies that go right to DVD, and I may or may not have watched just because they're just fun, you know.
They're on Tubi. They're right. On Tubi.
They are. But
Undisputed too.
Exactly, 100%. But I'm gonna have to say Undisputed that this movie is Sick with the Flu good. I don't think it's Solitary Confinement good yet, but I think it's Sick with the Flu. Reason, because I think you could still watch this and have a couple laughs, but it's like my attention span like wanders. Like I did a lot of skipsies during some of the scenes.
Yeah, I had to really force myself to sit down and watch it that 3 times just to prepare for this.
Right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I was like, yeah, it brought back some things. I laughed a few times. And to be honest with you, I didn't even really watch it the first time. I just listened to it.
No, I've done that too. I've done that too before. Where you just put something on in the background and you're like, all right, I'm just going to absorb this through osmosis somehow.
I'm just glad they gave my man Merlin another shot, you know, from Excalibur.
Oh, God. You know?
And they just tore that little toothpick he had under that trench coat.
This was his last movie, too. I don't know why.
It was.
Yeah. I don't know why. Because I know he passed away like further down the line, but I think he just stopped acting after this movie.
Yeah.
Like he did this and was like, that's it. That's enough.
Like Excalibur was the top of the mountain. Now that's a movie.
Well, sometimes we know we scale the mountain and then we come down a little bit. You know, like Raul Julia when he did Street Fighter right before he left.
Oh no, oh no. Raul knew he was leaving the earth. He said, let me get this out the way.
Well, Mikel, why don't you tell the Comic-Conzies where they can, I know you dropped it at the top of the show, tell them again where they can find your art, your comics, your Instagram handle. I don't know if you're on Twitter, but just throw your stuff out there. So where can people find your stuff?
All right, well, you can purchase our books and other merchandise from our website. It's greenbirdcomics.com. You can also check us out on Instagram, same name, Greenbird Comics, with the Y and the bird. All one word, as well as Facebook, we have a page, as well as Twitter, we have a page. And plus my creators, they have their own separate page where you get a chance to meet and greet, find out more about them and their projects. So you'll find all that information on the Greenbird Instagram and on the Facebook page. So
awesome. Awesome.
And you said you got some upcoming conventions coming up?
Yeah, we haven't got any signed up as of right now. What we decided to do for the moment is do like a little 3-month break because we've been doing so much work last year trying to get this other title out, which we just did. But we wanted to kind of focus back on, you know, marketing and sales and stuff like that because it's a business. So we want to make sure we expand like we need to expand and approach it differently. So the funny thing is we are working on trying to get a podcast of our own going. So we would love to have you guys out there or with us, you know, for one of our future shows when we get that together. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
No, I appreciate you coming on and classing the joint up a little bit with your commentary and your insight into and your back. I mean, honestly, dude, it's just really great to meet people through this process. We've had a couple of other creators on this show, and it's a really cool thing to get to meet people that are into the same stuff and just creators like yourself that are just doing out there doing that. So it's just really an honor that you came out here and came on this and did this for us. So I hope you come back and I promise you next time you do come back, if you're willing to, we'll pick a better movie.
Hey man, I'm always willing. Just let me know. Next time I'll probably bring one of my teammates with me so that way you guys can meet with them and we can all just be a part of it. So I think they'll enjoy that. So.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, awesome.
That'd be cool.
Well, thanks for doing it, Mikel. I appreciate it. And listen, Comic-Conzies out there listening to whatever we said on this show, okay, whether it wrangled your lungs in a fever or a drunken rage, or maybe it made you want to go out there and rent Spawn from Blockbuster, or travel back in time to find the Blockbuster that was open to rent to Spawn. Or maybe you just want to go on Netflix and watch Spawn on repeat 10 times in a row. Maybe you want to send us an angry email because we're talking about Spawn for the second time in history on this podcast. True story. Please remember, at the end of the day, it's just fiction. Don't take it seriously. Thanks for listening. Woodoo up.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Belly, Beer Belly. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty when you call me.